Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and we'll be responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back. With Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You know, we're in a big state of excitement around the monastery.
Big state of excitement.
Yeah, kind of around the monastery, and I think just around our practice in general.
Yes.
Yeah, so you probably heard a rumor that we have a fifth annual walk across the Golden Gate Bridge.
I have heard that rumor.
You've heard that rumor?
Can you confirm it?
We can confirm it, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and it is just being so much fun. Hearing from people all over the country. Of course, a lot of people are going to come for the walk. Others can't come for the walk, but they're staying home and they're putting on fundraisers in their own towns, and the whole practice has a party feel about it.
Party feel.
And you know how those Buddhists like to party.
Yes. Party feel. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, phones are just ringing off the hooks, and emails, you know, by the thousands. And,
yes.
It's just marvelous. I mean, people are getting into this whole thing.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's Saturday, September 23rd.
Yes.
12 noon.
12 noon.
To Golden Gate Bridge Walk.
To when we just can't see to go on any longer.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, wait a minute. I meant in terms of light. It sounded like a different kind of party there, right? Since we can't see to go on. I just meant, it'll probably be getting dark.
Oh, I see.
That'll be the thing that stops us.
I see.
Yeah.
And people can meet at Chrissy Field.
Yes.
At 12 noon.
Yeah, we'd love it if people sign up, just so we get a sense of how many people are going to be there. But it doesn't really matter. We just, if people get up that morning and say, oh, it's a beautiful day, let's go down to Chrissy Fields and meet the rest of the folks and walk across the bridge. We'll be happy to have you.
Yes, yes. And it's a beautiful spot down there.
It really is.
Right down by the water. And
yeah, yeah. It's such a fun view of the Golden Gate Bridge that not an awful lot of people get to have, I think.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's what's going around here and going on around here, and it's a very fun time.
Yes. So we're down to less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And, I don't know what it is, but I do know that the date has been set for next year.
Yes.
So we're going to, it may even be on the website, I just can't remember what it is.
Yes.
So we're really encouraging people, because there were a lot of folks who said, oh, gosh, I just can't, I have a scheduling conflict or whatever, and we want people to put it on their calendars right now for next year, and next year make it about a three times as big of an event as it is this year, which is way, way bigger already than anything we've had in the past.
Yes, yes. Hmm? Great.
Hmm? You and your family are going to be there?
Oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't miss it.
Absolutely. I haven't missed one yet.
Me and, either.
Great. Good. Shall we talk to some callers?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'd like to welcome Chris. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Evening. Let's see where to start. So this morning I was sitting, and I had one of those big aha moments. And it's the content has, you know, it's has come to me before, but for whatever reason, it just really, really sank in this time. And it was, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm in this place where I just had this voice that says, you're not enough.
Came right out and said it to you as this, sitting there.
You know, this isn't enough. Like, just being who you are, as you are right now, isn't enough.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've come to the monastery, I've done lots of retreats, and I've been doing this practice for a while, and it's like I really got self-hate in a more fundamental way,
yeah,
I think, than I ever have. And how that relates to my...
Excuse me just a moment, but mm-hmm. it's really, you can tell that conditioning, while being, having an appearance of being somewhat clever, is not smart, because when someone is sitting there meditating, it's not a good time to insult them and hope that they won't notice.
Not too bright, huh?
Not very bright.
Yeah, and how this kind of relates to my life, and it was one of those realizations where, you know, one thing clicked into place and then everything came into focus.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been, I'd say, practicing with what I call the rev, you know, like a car, an idle is too high.
Uh-huh.
That's what I call this pattern. It's like a sense of time scarcity. Like, I'm always kind of rushing or hurrying or, you know, always trying to get to the next thing. And even, you know, I practice with it a lot. I'm aware of it, and I'm just watching it, and it's just there kind of purring and humming. And what became clear to me is that that sense of time scarcity and that sense of hurry and rev is totally related to that feeling of not being enough, because what I'm constantly doing is trying as hard as I can to add things that will make me worthy of love.
Yeah.
And so it's not the thing that I'm obsessed with or driven towards. It's the desire to be loved. And of course, no thing will ever do that. And so I just have to go faster and more and more and more to the next thing.
Right. And, of course, that activity that is supposed to get you what you want is reinforcing the illusion of a problem.
Right.
Yeah, so every time you go faster, what it's saying is, yeah, it's really true, you're not enough. Yeah, it's really true, you're not enough. Yeah, it's really true, you're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't matter where you got to or what you accomplished. The reinforcement of your not enoughness is going to overwhelm all of it.
Right, and that's exactly what's happened. I was reading Nothing Wrong With You again for the thousandth time, and I came across this passage. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it said, you know, when things get really bad, of course, that's when you need the most compassion, but that's when it's the hardest to give. And the last several years, I called a while back about this, but I've been dealing with a really serious illness. It's pretty much, I haven't been able to work. I've just kind of, all of the things which I would normally do to kind of fill the void, I haven't been able to do. And so the self, I don't know if that's coming across clearly, but like all of the things I would normally try to identify with.
Yeah.
For a sense of self-worth are just gone.
Yeah.
And so there's tremendous liberation in that, but there's also, of course, the self-hate that rises and says, see.
Well, now, of course, I'm not having your life experience, so it's very easy for me to see this as good fortune.
Yeah.
I do think it's good fortune, because it was always saying, see. It's just that now you have no escape. And so you are forced to confront what's really going on.
Right.
And that is tremendously helpful. Just in the last little while, I've had so many people say to me, and it's around, with each of these cases, it's around illness.
Mm-hmm.
And what they say is, you know, I finally got what you're saying about self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there you are down, and somebody is just kicking as hard as they can kick you, and then saying things like, why don't you just kill yourself?
Right.
It's very clear that this is hateful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when we're running and trying to do what it's saying and meet its standards and hoping that somehow we're going to be let off the hook, we don't actually face how truly horrific it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have been experiencing a lot of gratitude for it seems like my body on some level was the first to get this, and I don't see, this isn't the full extent of the way I see it, but in a way that the illness has like you said, just made it even more clear what's actually going on, because I haven't been able to pursue some of the things that might have distracted my attention from the truth of what's really happening.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always a weak link in the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now in Zen, of course, we understand that body and mind are one.
Right.
There's some place in the system that just can't take the abuse
mm-hmm.
any longer. It just gives out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then what the abuse does is turn on that and blame it and blame the body and blame the person.
Right.
And when we get to a certain point with it, all we can do is feel grateful
mm-hmm.
that something gave out while we have some hope of turning things around.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So that gets me to my question. I feel very hopeful now, and I am. There's a real clarity that practice needs to be a big focus in my life right now. That's just clear.
Big focus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, it has been a fairly large focus for me over the past several years too. But it's just more. You know, it's
life and death.
There's no thought process about it. It's just this is how it is. Yeah. And so, I'm in the position where, you know, the normal ways of that I would do that are somewhat difficult because of the illness. Like, you know, coming to the monastery and spending longer period of time there, which is something I've been fantasizing about for a while, or you know, even just doing a 7 or 8 day retreat is somewhat challenging. I'm hoping to do it, but you know, what I'm trying to figure out is how I can create the kind of supportive environment for myself in my daily life in the meantime until I can get myself to the monastery on a more regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I guess,
of course, if you're like most folks, the challenge is, so I my health is good enough to go to the monastery, but I don't go because I have these other things that I'm doing.
Right.
Then my health fails, and I can't go, and I really want to because I definitely need the support.
Yeah.
Then I get to feeling better, and now why would I want to go when I'm feeling better and I have an opportunity to make up for all that lost time from when I was sick?
I don't know about that part yet. I mean, I've got lots of time right now,
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Always on the opposite side of, you know, if I can't go, I want to go. If I can go, I don't want to go.
No, I know exactly what you mean. And I don't want to create the idea in the story that I have to be in the monastery to have practice be a focus. That was just sort of a desire. You know, it's just an honest desire that I would like to fulfill at some point. But in the meantime, I mean, I've done the Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and I have a... It was about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and I'd like to do another one. But in the meantime, I feel like some of those tools that we used in the retreat and that I was using afterwards, some of which I've forgotten, would be really useful right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, process mapping comes to mind. Of course, I still journal a little bit, and I'm thinking of maybe redoing the whole process where we, you know, the sub-personalities and then re-record, you know, addressing them individually and then recording the reassurances.
Mm-hmm.
Any other ideas? I'm just...
Well, you know, the thing that I think is most helpful when one is attempting to practice on one's own, of course, finding as much support as possible, finding other people to sit with and that sort of thing.
Right. I have a local Zen center that my wife practices with that I go there to sit,
yeah,
which is nice.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And have a schedule.
Uh-huh.
Have a schedule. Have a schedule and stick to it. And when you don't stick to it, watch how you don't.
Right.
And then recommit to sticking to it until you can stick to it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you mean like, okay, I'm going to get up and do some reading or do some journaling or do some process mapping. And
I'm going to get up and I'm going to sit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that every morning.
Yeah, and then I'm going to do some of these other practices, and then maybe I'll do some yoga or I'll go for a walk, and then I will sit, and then I will... So whatever your day consists of for that kind of practice, you know, I will do some cooking meditation and housekeeping meditation and, you know, whatever it is that goes on in the day, rather than, oh, well, I'll listen to the news while I or I'll watch TV while, you know.
Yeah.
I'm in the monastery, and I don't do that. And I
and that's particularly important when because I'm not working, and it's so when I don't have a schedule, and it that makes it in some ways easier for me to just sort of fall into the abyss.
Oh yes, yeah, that's why conditioning resists schedules so vigorously.
Right.
Yeah, and don't forget to put in things like play and you know, things that you do just for pure enjoyment.
Right.
Make yourself a schedule that gets in, you know, X number of sittings a day and all of the things that are going to support you in staying as conscious and present as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then let us know.
Okay. Thanks. Right. And I hope to see you at least for a short time on Saturday.
Oh, very good.
The 23rd. I live in the Bay Area, so.
Oh, very good.
If I can, if I'm feeling up to it, I'd love to get out there and take a walk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Well,
okay.
We'll look forward to it.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome Janet from New Hampshire. Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello. Hi.
What's going on?
Hi. Oh, Sherry, I'm so excited. The Bridge Walk next year is going to be September 8th, I heard.
Oh, is that when it is?
Yeah.
I know it's earlier because we're doing a walk in Italy, following in the footsteps of Francis' retreat, and I know we had to move the Bridge Walk around to accommodate that.
Well, I just got an email today saying that that's when it was, so that you
wonderful.
Could say that. Yeah.
So it's on your calendar.
Well, it hasn't made it to the calendar yet, but it will be on the calendar, yes.
Very good.
So I'm calling about this bridge walk and about what's going on here and what's been happening with me with saying I would be a team captain.
Uh-huh.
And... it was really interesting because last week I was listening to the show and I heard a caller say that she was, once she got things in motion for what was going on, she felt like she just wanted to fall asleep and sort of, you know, not do anything and pretend like it wasn't happening.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing started happening to me. And it's the same thing I've been working with, the voice that comes up that says, you know, you just don't have enough energy. You don't have enough time, you're not strong enough, you know, all those reasons why I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah. Now, and, again, just for people who aren't listening in this way, the voice is saying you're not strong enough, you don't have enough time, you don't have enough energy.
Right.
I mean, come on. Can you imagine if your next-door neighbor came over and said, oh no, you shouldn't be doing that. You're not strong enough to be doing that. You would.
I know. When that voice comes in, it's so real. I mean, it seems so real. It
yeah,
seems so,
and yet it's
well,
not.
Of course, I'm not strong enough. Why would I even? Who was it that volunteered and sent an email back saying, you know, sure, I'll do that, because I wanted to practice what it would be like to be of service.
Uh-huh.
That was really interesting to me. I was very interested in when you were going to do the year-long service, because that's such a challenge for me.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why I took it on, to see, just for that, for practice.
Yes, and the voices of conditioning really didn't like it.
No.
And started telling you all of the reasons that that would just not work for you.
And it even went so far as I was going to try to figure out how I could get out of it.
And then you remembered who you were dealing with and said,
I was like,
no getting out of this.
Absolutely, no getting out of it. So what I did was I grabbed someone else to be on the team with me. And that was, so it was like a sangha.
Yeah.
So
well,
I had.
That's just smart, isn't it?
I had my sangha.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, I've got this other person. And it was last week. Because we hadn't gotten the plans going. We didn't know what we were going to do, but I knew we were going to do something. We're starting to run out of time. And so after I listened to the show last week, I was like, this is exactly what's happening to me. I'm just falling in this trap. So I called her up and I said, we got to get started. We have to have something in place. And I'm feeling really stressed about this. So it's funny because she is a student of mine in one of my classes, and so she said, "Will you come over tomorrow? We're gonna arrange the whole thing, and get you unstressed so that you can teach my class tomorrow night." So we were just like really joking about this, but
uh-huh.
We got everything set up, everything fell into place. We've already gotten a lot of money, and we've got our. We're having a night of yoga and meditation the night before the bridge walk. We've got so many people on board. We've got people who are so interested in living compassion. And it's just been phenomenal.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so glad to hear you tell this story on the show, because this is the story that we are hearing over and over and over. I knew that I wanted to do this. I said yes. Everything kicked in to say, no, this is going to be too hard. You can't do it. What were you thinking? Stop it. You hate this kind of stuff. The person goes ahead and does it, and it's like, you know, just massive miracles in every direction. Everybody jumps up to say, yes, me too. People start throwing money at them. It turns out to be just huge amounts of fun instead of the horrible drudgery that conditioning was telling them it was going to be. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And the event itself, we haven't been like, you know, tallying like, well, are you definitely coming or aren't you? And so we kind of left it like, well, we'll just see who comes.
Yeah.
So now conditioning has gone from you can't do this to now it's telling me, oh, you won't be able to teach the class because you have no idea how many people are coming or what they're going to be doing or, you know, it's moved on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching that.
And after this goes well, then it'll say, okay, you should do this all the time. You should do this once a month. Or, you know, this event was not nearly big enough. You need to raise this amount of money.
That really wasn't enough. Even though you exceeded what you wanted to raise,
it
really wasn't good enough. I know. I've heard it all.
Yeah. It's just nonstop, isn't it? And the thing that's heartening for us is we can catch on to it. It does start getting familiar.
Yes, this is all familiar. This is all how I do everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just watching the whole thing, and it's been, or if I get money, I don't get money, or if it, I make it all about me. If it if it's becomes something personal about me,
yeah,
it's not fun.
No.
And
no.
I'm not
if
liking
I'm
it.
If I'm successful, it means I'm this kind of person, and if I'm not, it means this about me. And, yeah, well, as soon as ego inserts itself in any way, most things stop being fun.
Yes.
Yeah, but if we keep our eye, that's, you know, it, that's why service has such a bad reputation. You know, if we keep our eye on what we're doing and what we're doing it for, you know, in this case, there are a bunch of people who aren't eating. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to do what I can to help turn that around. Yay. How can I fail at that? But as soon as how I am perceived, primarily by conditioning, becomes more important than whether or not these people are eating, then, you know, I might as well just give it up because it's going to be miserable. And, of course, that's what conditioning is hoping for. It'll be make it so miserable that you'll give up and you'll never have the experience of how much fun it is to get involved in something for, you know, what we might think of as a higher purpose, you know, a goal larger than one's own ego.
I'm really getting it. I mean, I'm really getting it because I haven't been, you know, I remember when the Africa Project first started, and one of my first reactions was, oh, why are they doing this? You know, why are they starting to go off and do things other places? And I just want to have retreats. You know,
right.
I just want to do things for me.
Right.
And that really was my honest first thought.
Yeah, oh,
and,
yeah. You were not alone, let me tell you.
Oh, good, because I feel kind of vulnerable out here.
Oh, you were
exposed.
No, we might even hear from more people tonight. Who knows? No, you were definitely not on your own with that one. And, again, I'm convinced that that's what's going on. You know, as long as conditioning is out, let's just do retreats. Let's just, you know, go to the monastery and do retreats and get that down and get really comfortable, and then it'll be something for me. You know, pretty soon with awareness practice, I, you know, you'll just sleep through it, and conditioning will be fine. And then, you know, we go off and do these other things, and people start catching on to how much fun it is to be involved in something big. And then conditioning is losing ground in a big hurry.
Yeah.
Which we're
very supportive of. It has been really fun, and also it's such a lie that I don't have enough time or energy because I feel like I am like on hyperspeed. And I'm not hyper, but you know what I mean? I'm just able to do all this stuff, and and I've got all this energy.
Yeah.
It's giving me energy.
It's giving us energy, right, because when life is fun, we have a lot more energy for it. Yeah,
yeah.
And without conditioning, life is much more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been great. So anyway, we'll let you know how it goes. We're so excited.
Yes, please. I'm hoping that... maybe the week after the walk, everybody around the country will call in and say, this is what we did, and this is how it went, and this is what we saw, and be a very fun show.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Jerry, and have a great time on Saturday.
Thank you. You
thanks,
have a great
Michael.
Time on Friday.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in just a minute. Coming up next in our second half of today's Open Air show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, the phone lines are busy here.
Good.
We've got three more callers.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Olivia from Toronto, Canada. You're on Open Air. Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you?
Good, good. My God, I feel weird because both the conversations have a lot to do with, the earlier conversations have a lot to do with why I called. I guess I'll just go.
Yes, please.
So basically, I've noticed something really interesting happen. What happened was is I went to business school for 4 years, but I knew for a while it wasn't really what I wanted to do. I teach aerobics, and I teach striptease aerobics in particular, and it's something I find very empowering to women. So I knew I just really wanted to grow my business, and I had an eating disorder, and it was sort of over this same issue. So when I was finished school, I went and got a corporate job to try to, I guess, make this storyline fit that wasn't really me. And then I got really depressed on the job. And I got your depression book to kind of look deeper into what it was. And I realized I was depressed because I wasn't doing anything I wanted to do. So I quit the full-time job, and I went and I started teaching aerobics full-time. And I started, working with the things I really wanted, so to write my book about my eating disorder to help other women and shed some misconceptions about it. And now the egocentricity is coming at me with all it's got, like that I'm a failure because I'm not using my business school education. Like, I can't even meditate anymore. Like, the anxiety attacks have just gone, they just keep getting worse.
Hmm.
And it's wow. Coming at, yeah, it keeps, like, I can't meditate, like, it's too loud.
Uh-huh. So you know this means you're going in the right direction, but that doesn't make it any more comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. So conditioning would rather you were in a job that you hate,
right,
completely depressed, than doing what you want to do. If you're going to do what you want to do and enjoy your life, it's going to do everything it can to make you as miserable as it can make you.
Yeah, and I noticed there's a lot of guilt, like, in these times when, because the second I made that decision to go full-time with aerobics, all these doors opened. Like, I met an international fitness presenter, and I started training with him, and I met people to help me to learn how to write better, and doors were opening, but then the anxiety thoughts started coming in. Olivia, what if you bust your leg again? Olivia, you can't live like this, making money off just your aerobics classes. And what if your book doesn't go anywhere? And what if your video idea is crap? And it gets, like, louder to the point where I'm immobile in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I just...
And you clearly, you see it for what it is.
Like, I see it now, but when I'm in it, it's so bad that, like, I would never slip my wrists, but the thoughts to shut it off, it's
yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Like, it gets so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yep. That's exactly what happens to people.
Wow, it's awful.
It's awful, isn't it? It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Hey, all right, can I interest you in doing a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
Yeah, I really, when I save up money, I really want to go and do it. Like, I've read almost every single one of your books. So
okay, here's the thing. Start sending in a little bit of money every week, every whatever it is.
Right.
Don't save up for it. Because if you try to save up for it, you know, it's always going to talk you out of doing that.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, just make a commitment to me that you're going to, you know, and I'm not going to call you up in the middle of the night and say, you failed to keep your commitment. So it's pretty safe. But just, you know, between us girls, you're going to send in X amount every week or whatever it is until you've saved up for the retreat, and then you're going to come on the retreat. And in the meantime, you know, there are a number of things that you can do. If you know, clearly you like the stuff, you know, our books and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I took a meditation course, and I'm going to retake the meditation course in the meantime to, because, like, I found that when I took the course, I was very committed, and I did the meditation, you know, like, I was meditating an hour and a half every day to, but I think it was the pressure of being on the course, like,
yeah.
So when I was left alone.
Support yourself in that way. When you're at home alone, get a CD of There's Nothing Wrong With You, or, you know, one of the CDs that with me just talking on about this stuff, and listen to that. Listen to that kind of thing in the car so that you start filling in the space that conditioned mind is taking advantage of with something that supports and takes care of you.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because that's when it happens, when I'm alone and I'm not.
Oh, it's abuse. It's abuse. It wants to get you alone, and then it wants to start talking to you. and it wants to say mean, ugly, scary, nasty things until you feel really bad.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's true. Right? I mean, it's insane that would be the case, and yet it is the case. So, you know, it wants to talk you out of everything that takes care of you and supports you, talk you into being alone with it, and then abusing you. So you've got to, you know, fight fire with fire and get everything you can in your camp supporting you. You know, find friends who are supportive of you. Find if there is somebody in your life that you can say, look, I just need to tell you what the voices are saying so that you can tell me that they're crazy.
Yeah, I'm going back to it's taking me a while to find a counselor that was as compassionate as my first counselor, which is kind of weird, but I don't know. So tomorrow I'm going, so I almost find I just need the counseling to dispel those voices.
Well, I have another idea for you. We have a program that we just started called Reflective Listening Buddies.
And, oh, okay.
Okay, and what happens is, you say you get paired with Michael, which you won't, but he's very popular for this sort of thing. But they say they paired you up with Michael, and you two would set up a time that you would be on the phone together. And so for the first 15 minutes, you talk, and he reflects you. For the second 15 minutes, he talks and you reflect him. And it's tremendously supportive. Even though, you know, you're not giving each other advice or having better ideas, you're just talking and being listened to, it's amazing how supportive it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's another thing to take advantage of. And my understanding is the way the program is set up, you could do this once a day if you want to.
Oh, with the reflective.
Yeah, you can have, you know, seven different people to do this with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that you really start messing with conditioning's ability to get you alone and just nonstop batter you with its negativity and hatefulness.
Yeah, because it's getting, like, I'm returning to a lot of my eating disorder behaviors.
Oh, you are. Of course.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of what it's doing. And then when it talks you into these behaviors, it beats you up for doing it.
Doing
of course, that's the whole thing. So it's getting support for yourself in every area of your life. You know, to go to 12-step programs, simply to be around other people, but you want to make, you know, who have the same kinds of issues, but you want to make sure that the programs that you look to for support aren't reinforcing the problem.
Yeah, I think I just maybe need even, I was listening and there's meditation groups that just meet. So that even something like that would be really motivating.
Yep.
Well,
start sending in that money for your There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Yeah, so can I just send it, like I just send it in an envelope? Can you pay online or?
Yeah, you just, you know, do you email? Are you an email person?
Yeah.
Yeah, so email our office. I think it's registration at livingcompassion.org, I think.
Okay.
And, email and say I want to start a payment program and because I'm saving up for There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and they'll take care of it.
Okay, and it's indefinite, like whenever the date is.
Yeah, you just, as soon as you've saved it up, then you say, okay, I'm ready. What one can I get in?
Awesome.
And they'll set it up for you.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And, you know, we're here, so you can check in with us.
I will, for sure. Thank you, Sherry.
And also, listen to the archives of the show. You know, when you're driving along, get it on your iPod or whatever, or on your computer. Make CDs, put them in the car. Yeah, get support.
Get some in any... In just everywhere there could be a mishap.
Every way.
Yes, that is a terrific idea. Thank you.
Take good care.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Olivia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Cindy from San Mateo. You're Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello there. I didn't expect to call back this week so soon.
What's going on this week?
Well, I saw something yesterday that I realize is an old friend, not an old friend, but a very familiar thing that I've been doing a lot of process mapping, and this wasn't showing up. I thought, okay, but this thing showed up yesterday. I thought, this one comes back over and over again.
Uh-huh.
And what it is, well, actually, I want to digress for just a minute to say that when the email class was canceled, I was disappointed, but I have just taken that money and signed up for a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So
good for you.
And I did it in the same breath so that I thought, I've got to do it right now before the voices of conditioning tell me that I don't want to do that. So,
which, of course, they're going to do.
Yes. Anyhow, last night, a friend of a friend of a friend asked me what I thought of some music that their friend of a friend of a friend had created. And I listened to it, and I gave what I consider to be my honest opinion, but it wasn't that favorable. I thought it was... Anyhow, so I didn't think too much of it. They asked me what I thought, and I listened to it, and I responded. And so everything was fine. Listening to the music, it was fine. Responding to the question of whether or not what I thought of it was fine. But then the other person looked uncomfortable with my response, and I perceived that I'd said something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then I was off.
Conditioning saw an opening and leaped into that opening.
Oh, yeah. And I thought, oh, this is so familiar.
Mm.
So familiar. So the very first... thing, I tried to, again, I was thinking, oh, look at this. Wow, I'm off and running with this. So I think I sense that the first thing I saw was compassion. But I really thought, my gosh, I've said something. I've hurt this person. I didn't mean to. But before that thought is even fully realized, the next thing that I see was like a defensiveness, was like, how am I supposed to express myself if I...
Why did you ask me if you didn't want to know what I thought?
Yeah. And then I'm just in confusion, toggling back and forth between those two things.
Yeah. Just two sides of a duality.
Right.
Yeah, never coming anywhere near compassion and center again.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I could see, again, afterwards, I thought, wow, this is so familiar, I want to look at this. So I tried to write some stuff down of what I could see, and I could see that there is a belief that if I'm not nice, if I don't say the quote-unquote right thing, I'll have no friends,
uh-huh.
And I must be nice because I must have friends.
Well, and you know, it puts us in a hard place, doesn't it? Because there's some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an unusual person who would say, what do you think of this? and be perfectly all right with any answer.
Right.
You know, it takes a lot of consciousness even to know that there's an expectation going on.
Right.
Yeah. So we get a lot of information that says, in fact, that that's true. If we're nice, people like us, and if we're not, people don't. And yeah, so that's a very difficult place.
And then I go back to the, you know, trying to find the most compassionate thing for everyone, mm-hmm. which is, okay, so, I mean, I know, you know, I want to be able to express my, okay, see if I can do, I could see this thread. I want to be able to express what I have to say, but of course I don't want to hurt anyone in the process, but yeah. I want to express what I have to say.
And so how might you have said whatever you said that could have accomplished that, that we might say would have been the most compassionate for all?
Well, I thought, well, if I had been... This is the dilemma. So if I had been like sort of really on guard to make sure I wasn't going to offend the person, I might have said things differently. But then that doesn't feel very compassionate to me to have to be on guard with my words.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
We would have to look and see if you were at center during the interaction.
Right.
Because for me, at least, it would depend a great deal on who was there.
Right.
So it depending on who's there, I could have a response from, if I had to listen to that for three more minutes, I'd pull my ears off. To, I could see how someone would like that. But from center... I might have, actually the other side of that would have been, I just love it, love it, love it, isn't it fabulous, right?
Right.
And so from center, it might be something along the lines of, well, you know, it's not my favorite type of music, but I can hear that there's a lot of skill in it. Or I could, you know, that from center, there would probably be something that one would appreciate about it.
Well, what I did see, I mean, along those lines, what I did see was that I did respond in an offhand way. In other words, I can see that conditioning wants to tell me that if I'm at centered, I'm like hypervigilant and, you know, worrying about everyone's feelings.
Right.
But I know that center is not that. It's just there. You're this there.
Yeah.
And I realized that I said it just not really thinking that this friend of a friend of a friend of a friend would have any personal response to this, my comment. So I just sent it in an offhand way. But I realized that if I had been centered, I would have, you know, been seen in their eyes as they asked the question. You know, I just would have seen something that I didn't.
Well, you might have seen something, and you might have actually been more present to the music.
Yeah.
You know, you, and so in that more present to the music, you know, if I'm in someone's home, that how their home is, I might know is not any way that I would ever want my home to be,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean I don't appreciate the reflection of them that it is.
Right.
Yeah. So that kind of broader perspective that tends to come from center.
Right.
And generally that response of, well, you know, why can't I just say what I think? Often that is a subpersonality,
right?
And that person can say what she thinks,
mm-hmm.
but it's important to say it to you,
right?
And then to know whether this is a kind or important or necessary thing to say outside of you,
right?
Yeah, because we do run into that place of, you know, there's karma in all of it. So can I be truthful, authentic, within myself, without needing to inflict that, if you will, on somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, how do you like the dinner? Well, I don't really have to say, you know, I think it's one of the most disgusting things I've ever faced. You know, because it's just not helpful.
Right.
Yeah. But inside, I can think, you know, if I get an invitation here again, I'm going to be busy.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah. So that,
I'm not talking for dessert.
I can see that there's a voice in me that's saying, well, that sounds like sort of a, there's a judgment there, but what's okay to say and what's not okay to say?
Well, of course, and we all know that. You know, somebody just passed something by me the other day. I think it was for the Peace Pages, and it gave the golden rule in every major religion and spiritual tradition throughout history. And every one of them has some recognizable form of that.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, why would I want to treat somebody in a way that would really not want to be treated?
Yeah, I saw that. That was great.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't actually want you to be totally honest about whatever your personal opinion is about what I'm wearing.
Right.
You know, because it doesn't help me, and it's just, you know, we all have our own conditioning, our own way of looking at the world, and our little opinions and judgments and that sort of thing. And it's really not particularly helpful to, again, the word that comes up is inflict that on other people. Now, but, you know, that also doesn't mean I have to be phony.
Right.
And I can be kind.
Right.
Yeah. There's always a way to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. The voices didn't want me to call and talk about this, and
ooh,
I could, and I, because I called last week, and it's like, oh, don't, no, but I could tell this is, when this came up, I thought, this is, I have to get this out of the shadows. Time to get out of the shadows with this one.
Yeah. Yeah,
I appreciate the talking with you today.
Yeah, it's big, so I'm glad you called.
Right,
and I think it's a topic that is big for everybody.
Right,
and I think all of us, conditioned humans, struggle with this.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Cindy.
Hey, thanks very much.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Cindy. You've been listening to another wonderful edition of Open Air with Cheryl Huber.
But, Michael, we left somebody hanging.
I told them to call right back first thing next week.
Oh, very good. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.